All right. Good morning, Pa. We can barely hear you again, but that's okay as long as I can have a good chat with not the Anton Cover. Little mic issue with a, I just find that ironic. Mic issues with a
Radio
radio
station.
show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna let you do most of the talking here today then.
Oh, you sound great now.
I do? Okay. Well, then I come and go here. Who knows?
Yes,
So who'd you
yes.
bring with you today? Who's your guest today?
Yes, I'm excited to bring to you Dr. Hoda Anton Culver, who is your chair of epidemiology. Is that right?
No, I'm now a distinguished professor of epidemiology in the Department of Medicine,
Yes.
and I'm the director of the Genetic Epidemiology Research Institute at UC Irvine.
There you go. We're broadcasting right from around the corner. It doesn't look like you're at UC Irvine today, but we're at the UCI Beal Applied Innovation Center today.
That's great.
Yes. We want to pick your brains this morning regarding a project that I know you're passionate. It has something to do with kind of like precision medicine, doesn't it?
That is true. That's true.
Yeah.
The program is a national program. It's a National Institutes of Health funded program, and it includes all people from all of the United States and is a research program on precision medicine. It started in 2016. I am one of the two PIs, principal investigators from California. And California has six sites. It's the California Consortium for Precision Medicine, UC Irvine and UC San Diego, USC, UC San Francisco, UC Davis, and Cedars-Sinai. So it's a six sites for the program, and the leadership is from UC Irvine and UC San Diego.
And what the heck is
So I'm one of the two PIs.
precision medicine?
Well, it's really the way that for the future, that one size does not fit all. Somebody has a particular condition. Right now, we may want to treat that. Everybody who has that diagnosis would get the same treatment. But the way that we are looking at it in the All of Us program is to personalize it. It does one individual need the same treatment as another or as the whole population? They may not. And it will be based on their characteristics, including what they are, what their health condition overall is, what their genome is like. So what we're trying to do is to create a huge, large data set for researchers, starting off with 1 million people in the United States. So the program is looking for 1 million people, following them up for a minimum of 10 years in order to create this mega data set for researchers all around the world
And
to
what do you
do
plan to do with that data
precision
set?
medicine.
Once you accumulate this data set, what do you get?
We are trying to get all researchers in all fields of medicine, science, and a social determinants of disease to look at that mega data set as we go along. In fact, it is available right now to researchers. We have completed so far over 375,000 people all around the United States. From our center here, we in Irvine, we've completed over 15,000 people. And for all of California, we've completed about 40,000 people.
And when you say you've completed it, what do you do? What are you tracking? What is it that you're keeping track of? And what kind of people? Just everyday people, ordinary people, cross-section? Who are you tracking and what are you tracking?
Everyday people. Everybody who is age 18 or over is eligible to be a participant, complete participant, a member of the study. And all of the people are included. There is no one disease that we're targeting. We are targeting everybody. We are pushing a little bit and concentrating on the contribution by a large number of people who are not usually represented in biomedical research.
Okay, like who? Who would that be? Teased us. Who would they not normally track? Is it poor people? Is it immigrants? Is it other people that they don't really come
all
across?
All of that. Yeah. All of that. But in the past, most of the biomedical research and clinical trials were focused and included non-Hispanic, white, middle-aged, mostly men.
Me.
You're
tracking me most of the time here. Yeah. Because you find me, I volunteer, all that stuff. I'm the easy ones to get to.
Exactly. So exactly. Yeah. Those who are well off to some extent, those who have access to media and access to knowledge. But we are recruiting everybody. That's why the name of the program, the All of Us program.
All of us. Now I
everyone.
Get it. I get it.
And focusing a lot on the inclusion of what we call UBRs. Those are underrepresented in biomedical research.
Wow. UBRs. There's a lot of UBRs out there.
Ethnicities, all socioeconomic classes, all geographic locations, all educational level. And the program is as inclusive as you can get it. And we're actually spending a lot of effort and time in trying to include all populations into the program.
Now, so help me out, Dr. Trin. I'm still trying to understand. Well, what do you track? I get now you're going to try and track all of us.
We can't hear you anymore, Paul.
You can't hear me? You can't hear
That's
me?
That's okay.
Yeah, because that.
How are folks finding you, Dr. Hoda? How do you get the message out to folks about this program?
The message is a national message. We have the program includes institutions from all geographic locations of the United States. So, for example, at UCI, we have several ways that we recruit our participants. Mm-hmm. The primary way that we recruit our participants is from all patients who are coming for medical care to UCI and UCI clinics all over the county. And we contact patients to see if they would be interested in the program. The program is proud to actually show that we can create this mega program and the mega computed data that would be available to researchers immediately by making it all digital. So the participant logs in and creates their own portal and signs on a consent form, and read about the program and what does the program offer. Learn a little bit about precision medicine. Why should they participate? What are they contributing to society? What are they contributing to their own population groups? How are we going to promote this program and move it forward that we eventually actually reduce the cost of healthcare, treat everyone based on their own characteristics specifically, and follow up to see what works and what doesn't work?
I love it because I know specifically in the world of Alzheimer's care and research, precision medicine is very important because if you have the Alzheimer's gene, right? Specifically the APOE4 gene, your risk is obviously much higher. Than somebody.
Absolutely.
So that person, you know, would, because of that higher risk, you would address that patient differently from somebody who does not have the gene.
And imagine then that we're not only looking at Alzheimer's, which is included in the study, we're actually looking at every single condition and every single characteristic. And that's why the availability of this huge data that we're creating on environmental exposures, on social habits, on dietary factors, on the receiving any medical care and how they respond to those medical treatments, and then whole genome. All of that is included in the All of Us program.
So
and then participants have access to their own genome data. They can actually download everything.
So wow. Let me see. Can you hear me at all?
I can't hear you, Paul.
You can't hear.
I think can there's doctor, something going on with your specific genome.
Can Dr. Culver hear me?
Of your microphone's genome, but it's off.
So Dr. Culver can't hear me either? Nobody can hear me. Okay. All right.
That's all right. It's only a radio show where you can't actually speak, but that's okay. It works. We're having a great conversation here, though. So does the genome that are looked at, are they similar to the 23andMe type
yes.
of genetic testing?
Yes. And in fact, it's only a small component of the All of Us program, but every participant would have the choice of receiving their ancestry information. So that's the first part of the program in giving information back to mm-hmm. participants, is giving them their ancestry, but in a very detailed way that they may be able to understand how they respond to things, the taste buds, the earwax, right. and all of that, as well as the ancestry data for participants.
Wow, I may sign up myself. I want to know.
I would like you to participate. That would be great.
You got one recruit here.
Yes, yes, yes. I would like everyone who is interested in the program to contact us at UCI. Make sure that they participate in the program. We are all waiting for people to come and participate.
How frequent is the meetings? Once you're in the program, is quarterly or?
Describe the participation of the program. Once a participant is interested and they log in and they create their own account, then mm-hmm. they will answer a few questionnaires and create their sort of workspace. And they sign consents, and we invite them to come in and donate a blood sample, a urine sample, and we take their physical measurements, height and weight, mm-hmm. waist and hip circumference, and all that information. Then the biosamples go to the biobank at the Mayo Clinic, and the data go into the database, and all of that gets established for the participant. Now, the participant, once they log in and they establish their portal, then they would have access to their own space, and they will see that they are asked to participate in more questionnaires, and so different topics, diet, health, history, family history of disease, mm-hmm. environmental exposures, social factors. So as we go along, there are more and more data requested. So the participant is actually with the program at all times. For example, when we had COVID, there was a questionnaire that participants completed, which is called the COPE survey. That survey gets information on how people respond to COVID, how they respond to all the guidelines and the isolation and the effect of the isolation and whether they are receiving the vaccine or not, and why not. So all that information would be available to researchers to understand better the population at large.
And it makes complete sense to me as somebody who, you know, had practice in primary care for close to 20 years. It's like if I have someone who has hypertension and they're Caucasian versus somebody who's hypertension and they're Asian or they're Black, do I write the same prescription for all three?
That's right. You may not. Yeah. But you don't know the basis on which you write that prescription. But if you know more about that, and in fact, one factor that we're going to be looking at is the response to treatment. As you, I'm sure, well know, that not everybody responds to the medication the same way. And there are genes that determine whether they respond and how much response we get. So that's also going to be included in the program, is already included in the program.
I love it. You know what I've always been curious of is you may have the gene, but what is it in your lifestyle that actually turns on or off the gene?
Right? Well,
what do we eat? What do we do? Like, I know, for example, specifically in the Alzheimer's world, which is where my work is in, if you have APOE4 and you have one heterozygous, you only have one copy of it, there are certain lifestyles that increase that risk with one copy, and there are certain lifestyles that decrease that risk so that the gene does not condemn you to the diagnosis.
That's for sure. And what we are learning clearly, it is a gene-environment interaction. And there are also modifiers that change your risk, even if you have a specific mutation. And then there is also a response to the knowledge of having a mutation. Clearly, in the breast cancer world, if you have a mutation in the breast cancer genes, the BRCA1 or 2, your behavior in terms of diagnosis and treatment and response to treatment, all of that is important to you and to your physician. And that information would be very, very important, not only to the participant, but also to their family members.
This is truly the future of medicine.
Absolutely.
Identify your genetics, identify the specifics of who you are, your risk, and then applying evidence-based medicine with modifiers of what we know, you know, based on diet, nutrition, lifestyle, to minimize, you know, turning on those genes that are at risk, that puts you at risk.
Absolutely. I think we are at the beginning of an explosion of a knowledge, data, and a people, not only researchers and scientists, but also community scientists, people who are just curious about a particular question. And the availability of the data will be to everyone.
Yes, I like the fact that as a subject who participates, you have access to that data.
Absolutely.
Many of our clinical trials, we don't have access to our lab results and our data.
Exactly. And not only that, but in a clinical trial, we have to select the participants in that clinical trial, and they don't really represent the population at large. We make decisions on that particular treatment, not based on everyone's response to the treatment, but to those who participated in the clinical trial, who are not at all similar to the large population.
Yes. I mean, have you seen the data on a lot of these COVID vaccinations?
That's true.
Right? And the predominant participants were, you know, white Caucasians, and we didn't have a lot of information.
On Blacks, Hispanics, Asians. Yeah. And that's why the All of Us program is really proud in terms of the effort and the response of the population from different race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, age, educational level. And we are really trying to make sure that we have a representative sample of the population of the United States so we can learn more.
Definitely. Do you have local organizations throughout, you know, Orange County and that are collaborating with you to reach these underserved communities, underrepresented communities?
Some, yes. So some of the clinics that we are also including are the FQHCs, the federally, like Santa Ana Clinic and the Anaheim Clinic, and they are included in the study. So we recruit from those clinics. And the National Library groups, the local groups, are also included in our outreach, as well as the Vietnamese clinic, the Korean clinic. So we do a lot of outreach to different groups in the community where we would make sure that we have participation by as much diverse population as possible.
Right. What does it look like for a clinic to collaborate with your project? Who's interested in collaborating? I know a number of organizations in the Vietnamese community, for example. There's home health hospice organizations. There's many different organizations.
And we want all of them to participate. We're really very pleased. I'm very pleased that the Vietnamese clinic and Dr. Lee from the Vietnamese clinic, for example, is full participant and co-investigator on the All of Us program. So we have presence at the Westminster Vietnamese Clinic, and wow, we recruit from there, and we have assignment of clinical research coordinators at that clinic. So we work together with the physicians from the clinic. The same with the Santa Ana Clinic, same with Anaheim and the Korean Clinic as well. So we're really doing a lot of outreach to the different groups in the population to have them have a chance to participate and give their voice into the program. We do learn a lot from our participants.
That's great. Are you still actively looking for additional investigators locally, or are you pretty much
absolutely
done?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because what I'm really interested in, I have already over 30 co-investigators from the UCI and the medical community in Orange County. And I want to make sure that all our healthcare providers have a chance to be co-investigators and include their patients in the program. And I want to make sure that we have a diverse, very diverse, a healthcare provider's inclusion and participation in the program, so we can hear what is important to them as well. So we're very, very lucky to have that. We do have a webinar that on a once a month, everybody's invited, community participants, the healthcare providers, the students are all invited. And we talk about topics that are of interest to our participants and to our community. Mm. So that's also a way that the healthcare providers, diverse healthcare providers, can participate in the program.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll have to get some more information so we can spread this message.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes, yes. So excellent. Yeah, I can certainly reach out to a number of additional medical groups who would be interested, and they're embedded in the community.
That would be great. I would like to also talk with you more offline on how you can help us in promoting the program in a minority population communities. And we cannot do enough on that topic. And so... And I know you are interested in that, so I would like to get your participation as well.
Yes, well, I'm an anteater. I am also involved with the Bio Innovation as a mentor and applied innovation. And so
right.
And I love precision medicine because, again, it is the future. We cannot treat every patient as a same cookie cutter.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's the only program in the world, actually, that is focusing on exactly that question and that target.
Right. Do you have specific websites that I can lead people to on our show?
Yes, and it's the allofus@uci.edu that you can get it that way. And I will also send you a full information on the program itself so you can actually help us in promoting it.
Definitely. So what is the frequency of a subject who is part of the program interact with the program? Is it quarterly? Is it monthly? Do they send in survey results? Is that how?
Yeah, we send the program, and it comes from national, the survey results, actually newsletters, information about precision medicine, what is new today, all of those things. So that is a continuous communication with our participants.
I see. That's amazing. What are your thoughts with that? I'm seeing a little bit more frequent now organizations that are promoting these genetic testing and
right.
then use that information to say you should eat this, you shouldn't eat that, or your blood typing and your diet related to your
all of that is actually a part of the All of Us program, and the participant can access all of that information. The one thing, though, that the program provides that will be different from everybody else is the fact that we're not targeting a testing of for a particular disease, like the for breast cancer gene or for a particular disease,
right.
A focused genetic information. It would be for a whole genome. That's the very first time any program provide that information.
Wow, you map out the entire genome of that person.
Exactly, for everyone, and everyone will have access to their own. I want to give a phone number for anybody who is interested in the program, and that is a 949-824-0281 and 0282.
Got it.
824-0282. If they want to email us and we email them back right away, is allofus@uci.edu.
Got it. I love it.
And they can also come into any of our clinics at UCI, at the Gottschalk Clinic, at UCI Medical Center, Santa Ana, and Anaheim.
Yes.
So we are really looking forward to see everyone everywhere.
I love it. And you're looking for additional, perhaps, medical clinics to participate?
Oh, for sure. That's why it is anyone, anywhere. They can contact us and they become participants.
I love it. And you have a website also for all of us?
Yes, we do. And it is right on the UCI. And let me give you that as well. I will get it for you in a minute.
No worries. I think Farah Tulier
is sending you all the information anyway.
She's on our Facebook chat, so she's putting it in the chat box.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Farah, thank you, my dear.
Farah, that's awesome.
She is wonderful. She's great.
Yes, I can tell. That's awesome.
Oh, she's on top of it. And she also is responsible for sending our newsletter. So anybody who would like to receive our newsletter, it's a monthly newsletter that Farah puts together and sends it with all our news all the time.
Wow.
So please give us your information and Farah will send you the newsletter.
Yeah, you're definitely going to get my information and I want to sit down and chat with you on how we can collaborate further too.
Anytime. That would be just really wonderful. I think our site here has the largest number of Vietnamese participants, by the way.
Yay!
Awesome. Right, you are.
What do you say to someone who is a little fearful in providing their personal genetic information?
Great question. Very, very good question. The program is proud to really show the security and confidentiality importance to participants and to our communities. So the information in the researcher workbench has no identifiers. Mm. Nobody can identify the individual. And we provide a lot of security and a lot of ways that we make sure that the participant have access to their own data, right, but no one else has access to their personal information. Information is based on large numbers, and the analysis is done anonymously without any identifier information on the workbench data set.
That's great to know. So is there, I know that is the inclusion criteria is very broad. You know, anyone over age 18 can participate. Are there any specific exclusion criteria? Anyone specifically that would not qualify for this program?
The people who cannot sign consent for themselves, we have a procedure for that. And also currently, people who are serving time in jail or prison, and people who cannot consent. Those are the two factors that we use for exclusion criteria.
Is the ability to speak English required? What if they speak Spanish?
We have English and Spanish at the moment. However, we actually are working on the different other languages. We have brochures in Vietnamese. We have brochures in other languages. But the actual signing up and completing the surveys right now are in English and Spanish.
Okay, great. And I'm assuming that a translator would be okay if somebody spoke primarily Vietnamese.
Yeah. It's sometimes a little bit tough. However, yeah. We did manage to get the largest number of Vietnamese, and the Dr. Lee and the clinic, the Vietnamese clinic in Westminster, is really wonderful in their collaboration with the program.
That's great. What are some examples where precision medicine have advanced our care over the last few years?
I think breast cancer is a very, very good example. I mean, we used to have a very aggressive treatment, and as you well know, yes, and knowing also any mutation specific for any particular disease can influence early detection, can influence also modification of behavior that includes diet, exercise, and other things to prevent disease. So I think precision medicine in specific examples have shown clearly that that's the need for the future. It will, if we have it the way that the All of Us program is planning, which is looking at all conditions, all genes, all diseases, wow, is eventually not only that we will do early detection of disease and a specific treatment for a specific mutation, but also we are going to be reducing the healthcare cost because people will not go on to have advanced disease without knowing that they were actually susceptible to that particular disease.
I love it. And when it comes to precision medicine, I think specifically Alzheimer's. And I ask myself, why is it that we have not come up with a medication to advance our progress in treating patients with Alzheimer's in the last 18 years?
Well, that's a difficult question.
Yes.
I mean, we have a lot of people are working on that topic. And I think we made a lot of progress in at least diagnosing early and caring for those patients. Remember that prevention of disease could be primary prevention, where if we know that somebody's going to get the disease, we can act on that and prevent it altogether, which we are not there for Alzheimer's. And then secondary prevention, where you can modify your exposures and risk factors that would then make the disease a little with less impact if you know that somebody has that genetic mutation. And then, you know, caring for patients with Alzheimer's and preparing for that in a very specific way is a very good thing. Now, Alzheimer's is a difficult thing, but I think there is, as you well know, a lot of work that's going in that direction. And, you know, I believe that the All of Us program may actually have more impact on Alzheimer's than it had before because of the inclusion of the diversity of the population. So we would know the spectrum of the disease a lot better.
Oh, yes, I absolutely agree with you. And I'm very excited to see that. I personally, you know, I'm in the field of clinical research where we are evaluating these medications to remove the beta amyloid plaque. But I've always wondered in my mind, as we attempt to remove the plaque, we should be asking, what is causing the plaque?
Absolutely. And that's the advantage of having a million people or more. You don't have actually few patients. You have a million people. You can look at their genes prior to their having the disease, which is a major advantage, instead of looking at people who have the disease already. So you don't have really early signs and early ways of detecting, or the basic genetic mechanism of how that disease is caused and how is it transmitted from one generation to the next.
Yes, it is the gene, the diet, the lifestyle, how much exercise, how much sleep, how much social interaction. And so to me, I see that from a prevention perspective as precision medicine.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's exactly what the All of Us program is going to show, that it is essential that we would have all stages of disease and all stages of information in order to come up with solutions.
Yes, which is why I feel it's been 18 years since, you know, before aducanumab was approved 2 weeks ago. And even then, we still have to figure out not just plaque removal, but preventing that plaque from coming on in the first place. So precision medicine is 100% needed, especially in the area that is so complex, like, you know, like Alzheimer's. You have genes, you have genetics, and then you have lifestyle. And we have to identify the specific lifestyle tied to the specific genes that increase risk so that we can create programs for.
Absolutely. I think Alzheimer's is one of the examples of what the All of Us program is planning to do, which is in this year and next year, is to focus more on social determinants of disease. You know, we don't know how the interaction between genes and the social activity and exposures and interactions are really affecting either the age of onset or how severe the disease is or how is it progressing and so on.
Well, count me in as a co-investigator on that area.
We will do it. And I really would like, Farah is hearing what we're saying. She will coordinate us getting together to talk about that.
Yes, and I'm with Alzheimer's Orange County, the largest nonprofit dedicated to Alzheimer's in Orange County. So we would love to.
We will absolutely talk together and get you as a co-investigator. That would help us a lot, and it will help the program.
Definitely. So you're hoping to extend this to at least 10 years in those who are participating, because we need that data set over time.
Right.
I love it.
So, at least 10 years.
How much of this can be done through telemedicine versus an in-person visit if somebody lives far away?
Okay, well, there are several answers to that. There is an All of Us program in every state, so people will have access right now to sign up for the All of Us program and to pair themselves with an institution anywhere. So that's one thing. The other is that we are beginning to see that our social media, our outreach, our engagement programs like the one we are doing right now, actually getting people to say, I want to be a part of this program. I want to be one in a million. And that interest is increasing more and more. And that's the way the word is out. And we would like to make sure that everyone feels that they can be a part of this precision medicine program.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. In the area of Orange County, where do you need additional assistance with?
We need people, obviously, to participate from different communities. We need people to understand that it is a commitment. It is a long-term commitment. We would like to see, and I would like actually to find out, how can we improve our retention for all those who are either challenged because digital challenge, they don't have a computer. How can we get innovation here? You're into the innovation. I need people to tell me, okay, what innovation can we look at in order to make sure that everyone has a chance to maintain their communication with the All of Us program at all times? That's a challenge. I would like everybody to think about that. Okay. How can we keep in touch all the time?
I love it. I see that Paul is trying to say something.
I know. Can you hear me again here? No.
Yes, yes. We can hear you now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to say this has been fascinating. It's probably more fascinating because I had to listen to it rather than keep asking questions here today. How can people reach you? Is there a place or a site or where do they sign up?
Yes, I think we did give the telephone numbers and the website and the email address. Okay. So that's all in there.
Give it one more time. Just we'll leave them with that. Just the website. How do we go and get, if somebody wants to learn about this, sign
Dan,
up for
why
it.
Why don't you give the website?
Yes.
Carol gave it to you.
Yes. The website is researchallofus.org is the central hub. The phone number is 949-824-0282. And then the email is allofus@uci.edu.
Okay, there you go. And is this nationwide, worldwide, nationwide, or just regionally? You mentioned some different colleges.
These information are for UCI, but they can also, through this mechanism, can find out the national communication addresses as well.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you so much. I learned a lot listening.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Farah says that most steps of the program can be completed online, such as consents and health surveys.
Absolutely.
There's a one-time in-person visit that's about 20, 30 minutes long for physical measurement and to get blood and urine samples for the DNA.
Exactly.
And then, as I
mentioned that before.
All right, we got to go because I got another show here, but I thank you for coming on. I hope you will come back and keep us updated as to your progress, how many people have signed up, and we'll keep spreading the word.
Yeah. Be happy to. Yes.
Thank you so much. We'll be in
contact. Thank you, Doug.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Another reason to tune in each and every week to Health Talks, right here on Orange County's only community radio station. Health Talks with Dr. Trin, streaming live from the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.